Well, last Sunday we learned from the fourth chapter of Nehemiah as the enemies continued to attack God's people. If you haven't noticed by now, the attacks were coming from outside the community, from the enemies and those who did not want God's people to succeed. And there came a point when there was actual physical threat to God's people, so Nehemiah had adopted a new strategy. And we remember that strategy was physical involvement, where they divided the workload, small groups working and watching. They physically supported one another, and everyone was prepared for an attack by the enemy. Secondly, part of that strategy was good verbal communication. Wherever there was a problem, they were to sound the trumpet and everybody would come and help them out to fight the enemy. And thirdly, that they were always available, that they were both guards and workmen at night and during the day. And now next they had to deal with internal problems that were going on, and these problems were physical and financial. It seems that it's very common still in our lives today. We have to deal with these issues within the body of God's people. As we look at this, these internal problems came up at this time, and scholars are not really sure whether this developed during the time they were building the wall or later on, and that this is out of context in the story, but it was a problem that needed to be dealt with, and it was internal problems within inside the community of God's people. They had to mortgage their fields to get grain, and they had to subject their children to slavery to pay taxes. Those who had much took advantage of the people who had too little. And the problem itself really was a spiritual problem. And it was called exploitation. Exploitation is making unethical use of something for one's benefit. It's what we call taking advantage of others when we have the opportunity to do that. Taking advantage of others. Exploitation is controlling others by influence. In one case, using wealth and status to make others submit. And in the second case, withholding from others to keep them submissive. To give you an example of what I'm talking about, because this is happening today, right in our very day and age, within the body of Christ. There are those who are walking around like they're so important, like they have it all, they have it all together, and they are something, and everyone is to look up to them. And they manipulate everyone and exploit everyone by force. And they use their wealth and their status to make others feel little and submit to them. Secondly, in the case of withholding from others to keep people submissive. How many of you have ever thought that when we give our offerings on Sunday morning, when we hold back, we are actually exploiting those in need in the world? Because what we're doing, we're withholding not only from God, but from those who are in need. We're withholding from them. Now, as I read over this and saw what was going on here within God's community, this community of people, I started to see that this is what's called a plutocracy. A plutocracy is a government run by the wealthy. And right away everybody's thinking, well, that's our country today. A plutocracy is a government of the wealthy. And plutocrats are those wealthy people who exploit everybody else around them so that they can have power and control. And in this case, there were those, and in today there are those who are plutocrats, not God's people or not Christians. God's people, the community of God's people, is supposed to be a theocracy. A theocracy is a government or a body or a community run by God. God is the king, following God's laws. But sadly, this was not the case. And here these people were. Nehemiah was trying to turn them back to God, because remember, the teaching was, and the promise by God was, that if you turn back to me, I will take you back and embrace you to be my people. And they were doing that. They were turning back to God. They were trusting in God. They were having faith. They were having success. They were being blessed and fighting the enemy. But something was happening within their own community. The men and their wives raised a great outcry against their Jewish brothers. Some were saying, "We and our sons and our daughters are numerous. In order for us to eat and stay alive, we have to get grain." The first issue they were dealing with was lack of food. They were hungry. And there were so many of them, they needed to get grain. But you see, there was a problem going on that was keeping them from getting that grain. Others were saying, "We are mortgaging our fields, our vineyards, and our homes to get grain during the famine." There was a famine during this time that had come up. And there were the haves and the have-nots, and the have-nots were suffering. Those who had land mortgaged it to get grain, and they were in debt. Still others were saying, "We have had to borrow money to pay the king's tax on our fields and vineyards because the kingdom that they were under was still taxing the people." So they had to mortgage their fields and their vineyards and their homes to get grain. They had to borrow money to pay the king's taxes. And in fact, some of our daughters have already been enslaved. We've had to subject our sons and daughters to slavery. In other words, sell them into slavery so that they had enough money to buy grain to eat. When I heard their outcry and these charges, I was very angry and I pondered them in my mind, Nehemiah says, and then accused the nobles and officials, and I told them, "What you're doing is exacting usury from your own countrymen." So I called together a large meeting to deal with them, and I said, "As far as possible, we've brought back our Jewish brothers who were sold to the Gentiles." You see, at this time, they had already bought back many of their Jewish brothers and sisters that were sold previously into slavery. They bought them back, and now he says, "You're selling your brothers for them to be sold back," which again, you're selling them into slavery, and we have to keep buying them back. And they kept quiet because they could find nothing to say. Nehemiah was right. Those who had land mortgaged it to get grain. Those who borrowed money, borrowed to pay the taxes, and they were selling their children as slaves. And they were charging a usury. If any of you don't know what usury is lending with a high rate of interest or lending with any interest at all. This was forbidden amongst God's people. In God's kingdom, loaning something to somebody was okay. But doing it for a profit and charging interest was not. In Exodus 22, it tells us, "If you lend money to one of my people among you who's needy, do not be like the money lender. Charge him no interest. If you take your neighbor's cloak as a pledge, return it to him by sunset, because his cloak is the only covering he has for his body. What else will he sleep in? And when he cries out to me, I'll hear, for I am compassionate." Leviticus is part of the Levitical laws. Leviticus 25. "If one of your countrymen becomes poor and is unable to support himself among you, help him as you would an alien or a temporary resident, so he can continue to live among you. Do not take any interest of any kind, but fear your God so that your countrymen may continue to live among you. You must not lend him money at interest or sell him food at a profit." I want you to think about what God's saying here. In Deuteronomy chapter 23, it explains even more about the laws concerning charging interest. And in Psalm 15, it refers to God's laws. But you see, the problem here is spiritual. I continued, "What you're doing is not right," Nehemiah says. "Shouldn't you walk in the fear of our God to avoid reproach of the Gentiles?" What they were doing, they were actually sinning by doing this. By exploiting their brothers and sisters, their own people, taking advantage of them, they were sinning against God. What you're doing is not right. You should fear God and avoid the reproach or the shame of our Gentile enemies. There's nothing that shames the community of God's people, and the church especially. There's nothing that shames it any more than Christian brothers and sisters taking advantage of each other or taking advantage of people in the community around them. It's a disgrace to the community of God's people when we do things like that. When we use our status and our wealth to take advantage of them, or we withhold from them thinking they don't deserve it like we do. I and my brothers and my men, he said, are also lending the people money and grain. But let the exacting of usury stop. And the solution to the sin is always repentance. And that was the solution again. Give back to them immediately their fields and vineyards, olive groves, houses, and the usury you're charging them. The hundredth part of the money, the grain, the new wine, and the oil. That was 12% interest they were charging them. We will give it back, they said. And we will not demand anything more from them. We'll do as you say. So they got together and they made an oath. And they promised that they would no longer do this. They praised the Lord and the people did it as they had promised. They repented. They turned back. They gave back. And promised not to do it again. They took an oath. And Nehemiah went on to say, using himself as an example, look at what has happened with me. He said, when I was appointed to be their governor until the 32nd year, 12 years, neither I nor my brothers ate the food allotted to the governor. In other words, what he was saying was, I didn't take what was rightfully mine. Out of reverence for God, I didn't act like that. Instead, I devoted myself to the work on this wall. And furthermore, 150 Jews and officials ate at my table, as well as those who came to us from the surrounding nations. And as a result of his generosity, not taking advantage of the people, but allowing them to come in and saying, here, come share with me. Each day, one ox, six choice sheep, some poultry were prepared for me, and every 10 days an abundant supply of wine of all kinds. And in spite of all this, I never demanded the food allotted to the governor. Think about that. In other words, what he's saying is here, when we open ourselves and share what we have with others, God will always bless us. We will never be in want. This is actually a New Testament principle also that we find in the New Testament. When John the Baptist was speaking regarding producing fruit and according with repentance, he said, let the man who has two tunics share with him who has none, and let him who has food do likewise. When Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and said to the people, repent, stop doing what you're doing, stop living like you're living. And they were continually devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and prayer. And everyone kept feeling the sense of awe, and wonders and signs were taking place. And all those who believed were together, and what they do, they had all things in common. They began selling their property and their possessions, were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. And day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they took their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. You see, what was going on here is they were coming together as one. And those who had much shared with those who had little. Everybody shared. They put all of their possessions, their wealth, and everything into a kitty and gave to those who had need. And what happened? The church exploded in growth because they were following God's principles. In Deuteronomy, it tells us that there's a poor man with you in any of your towns and your land which the Lord is giving you. You shall not harden your heart nor close your hand from your poor brother. How many of you remember Ananias and Sapphira? What happened with them? They sold land and they brought the money to the apostles and laid it at their feet. But what they do, they kept some back. They thought they deserved it. And what happened? They both ended up keeling over and dying because they lied to God. I wonder what would happen, and oftentimes I've wanted to do this. I wonder what would happen if on Sunday morning, when we took up the offering, we take up the offering and bring it up here, and I'd say to the ushers, now I want you to take the plates full of money and I want you to pass it back out, and anyone in the congregation that has a need, take from the plate what you need. I wonder how many people would be in church the following week. But you see, it's a disgrace to God's people, and it's a disgrace to God when we exploit others thinking we deserve more than anybody else in this world. And we keep what's ours, unwilling to give it up and to share it with others for the benefit of the whole community. And that's what was going on amongst God's people. And Nehemiah said, you got to stop doing it. It's a sin against God. And we can't expect to ever grow or succeed or prosper or to be blessed until we take that which God has given us. And there isn't a soul here this morning who has not received a multitude of blessings, treasures beyond the imaginations of many people. When we hold it back, we're exploiting those in need. They were breaking God's laws, and it's called sin. And in this case, sin was exploitation. And in God's economy, the rich are to help the poor with no motive for gain. If you give to someone expecting back, you are not giving. You give, and you turn away, and you forget it. And you give in abundance as God has given to us, with no motive for self-gain. You will not believe how God will prosper you when you live like this. In 1 John, John tells us, whoever has the world's goods and beholds his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? And the fact is, the love of God does not. If there's one way that the enemy can destroy the success of God's people, it's from within, when exploitation enters into the church and we start walking around like we're some high and holy and mighty people when the world out there is starving and in need. It disgraces God's people and it makes a mockery out of God. And God's word tells us this morning that it's sin. We are blessed in the United States. We are blessed in Elmsport. We are blessed in Elmsport United Methodist Church beyond what we're ever going to need or use. Even in our own personal lives, there's always going to be financial woes. There was with God's people. There's always going to be physical hardships. There was with God's people. But if we trust God, and if we use our gifts openly, giving to others, we can bring glory to God in building His kingdom. We can say, we will know that our God will supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And we will know that our pockets will never be empty, because you cannot outgive God. They were disgracing God's people, those that were wealthy, that had things. And Nehemiah said, stop it, because God's not happy. If they were to continue to expect success, they needed to repent, open their hearts, their minds, their wallets, their treasuries, and stop exploiting those around them. Lord our God, we ask that you show us in what ways we might be exploiting others. For we are truly a blessed people. We are not in need here this morning. We have all that we need because you've supplied all of our needs. Help us to have a proper view of your economy, that we might look at what we have and say, how can I share this with someone who might need it? Knowing that you will always supply our needs, and knowing that we'll bring glory to you when we share according to your principles. In Christ's name, amen. And let us close this morning with a song. I don't know if any of you have ever sung before. It's the Servant Song, number 424. Let's stand together and sing.